Hiya, Trevor.
That's a good opening.
All right, I'll take that. Hi, everybody. Hi, patrons. Hi, everybody listening to the preview of this on the main feed. Welcome to either your exclusive monthly episode of the Old Kids Movies on Patreon or a preview on the main feed of our otherwise exclusive monthly episode on Patreon. If you enjoy this episode and would like to gain access to monthly episodes all the time, once a month perhaps, you can head on over to our Patreon where we have episodes like this and draft episodes and top 10 lists and classic reviews and modern reviews and a bunch of other content that we hope that you enjoy. And you can support the show. We'd really appreciate it. And head on over to Patreon and sign up to get content like this. Trevor, how are you today?
Oh, you know, I've been better, but football season is in full swing and that'll get me through to the next thing.
Well, as they say in the remake of this movie, it's still summer, well, at least while we're recording this. But, you know, I wanted to, for at some point while I had this platform, to talk about movies from my childhood that stayed with me, that impacted me. But, you know, this clearly was not a great fit for the main feed. It's not technically a movie. It is a miniseries. It's barely within our time frame. It is 1990. And it's also not really a kid's movie. But it's a movie that kids who were born in the 80s and 90s saw this movie. And chances are, if you saw it before you became adult, you saw this movie way too young. And that, of course, is the 1990 miniseries, two-part adaptation of Stephen King's It.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, you can call this a kid's horror movie because it's probably scary for kids and not very scary for anyone else.
Well, it was scary at the time. I mean, I think to an extent, you know, and we also have to...
Scary to everybody at the time?
I imagine there were things that were scary for people in the 90s.
I don't buy that.
Yeah, but also keep in mind, you're watching this on ABC. You're watching this on network television. This is, at the time, one of the scariest things probably put on network television up until this point.
I don't know. Have you ever seen Network? The guy almost kills himself on network television.
Made me mad as hell, and I just couldn't take it anymore.
Did you see Network?
Very long ago.
Okay. No, but, yes, but this couldn't have been. Because HBO was around. Well, that's not necessarily network. But there has to be, like, other scary moments. I just feel like this isn't... I can't even call this horror.
I mean, it's definitely horror. It's Stephen King. And it's not Green Mile, Shawshank, Stand By Me, Stephen King. This is a story about the most terrifying entity that has ever existed in the universe that preys on children and...
Well, preys on
does
fear.
That by... Feast on your flesh and feed on your fear, I think is the line that Skarsgård says in 2017. But
right.
Feed, fear, flesh, everything. It eats kids and it sucks. It's very Rose the Hat in that sense, too. But let me just take a step back here. This is probably one of the most important pieces of media in my entire life. This is something that I saw the commercial for on ABC Family in probably 2004 or 2005. And, you know, at that point, clowns weren't scary to me. I mean, I didn't like clowns, but I was also not someone who was petrified of clowns. And when I saw the trailer for this on ABC Family, no less, I was like, you know what? I kind of want to watch it. And I was watching a little bit of it downstairs in my living room. My mom was like, no, you're not watching this. I'm like, all right, fine. I went upstairs and then I just watched it upstairs. But ever since then, you know, I got this movie at the FYE at the Walpole Mall. When I found a way to like get DVDs and to get them as like a file on my iPod, my iPod Classic. I got the first half of It there. I own this on Steelbook. I own this on DVD. Like this is, I have it on digital because the Steelbook came with it. But like this movie is huge for me. I watched at least the first part of this miniseries and the first part of the 2017-2019 remakes. And then each of those probably twice a year. And then probably part two of this and part two of the movie at least once a year. This is just up there. It's just one of the most important things from my childhood that has stayed with me.
I know, I'm sure. Though I was looking on Letterboxd and I didn't see that you reviewed this or rated
it. The reason is this is not a movie, it's a miniseries. And I don't log miniseries on Letterboxd.
Hmm.
Yeah, like I watched Mayor of Easttown. I'm not going to log that on Letterboxd. You know, it's a minor gripe and nitpick, but like, no, it's technically this is not a movie. I wish it was, but it's not.
Right, but it's a two-parter, and it's like, I feel like this could be an exception.
I think it is kind of considered to be an exception because it's a cool 3 hours. You can breeze through it, and I think the way that it has stayed in the pop culture kind of shows that I think it's just kind of marketed as It, the movie, or Stephen King's It. But Pennywise, and thanks to Tim Curry's crazy portrayal, he's often lumped in as one of those key horror icons, even though the fact that, again, not technically this wasn't even a movie, but it was also a TV movie. So people lump Pennywise up with some of like the most iconic horror figures in history, up there with Myers, Freddy, Jason, Chucky, Jack Torrance. Like he's up there.
Yeah, he's close to them, but he's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Like no one, you don't see it as much, I think.
I think partly because in the last 6 years or so, that's when we started to get Skarsgård kind of sneaking his way in with his later performance.
And we'll see which one's better. But I met Pennywise on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh yeah, how'd that go?
He has a balloon, and he's like, there's a very, very good Pennywise cosplay or costumer. I don't know what to call him. Costume artist. There's someone on Hollywood Boulevard now dressed up as Pennywise, and he's very good at it.
Do you remember in like 2017, 2016 when the creepy clowns became a thing?
Like the murderous clowns?
Yeah, just like the viral videos of clowns just like standing on a sidewalk with like a balloon or a chainsaw, something crazy.
I do.
Yeah, I had no interest in any of that shit. I was actually on a road trip at one point, and we talked about like driving, just like we were two friends, and we talked about like, oh, do we want to go like down this random street? And one of them said like, what if there's a clown there? And we just didn't drive. We just ruined all the fun.
I feel like the clown thing, I was never that scared of clowns. And I think that the idea of why a clown would be scary is, I don't know, probably coming from like the Joker and some of the earlier silence of this is a comedian. This is someone, a performer that's supposed to make you laugh and make you feel kind of safe and entertained. Instead, it's going to kill you. Like that's what makes it scary. That's what makes a clown, a killer clown, scary, is you have in something that's supposed to make you feel something else, and then it does the opposite, like comfort and laughter versus scared and murdered.
And I guess just taking a step back, what you heard my experience, what's your experience with this movie? You know how much I like it. I know you've watched the miniseries at least once, but otherwise, what's the word?
You told me to watch it, and then you lent me the DVD, and I watched it in my dorm in college.
Well, we watched part one together. I know that for sure.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, and then I think I was like, you don't need to rush and watch part two, but here's the DVD in case you
want to watch it. I think I watched it like that night or something, or later the next day. I didn't remember. Yeah. I thought I might have watched it by myself or something, just on my computer. I had a little TV on my desk that I would do homework next to sometimes.
Yeah,
I don't know. I never, because I didn't really watch a whole lot of like TV miniseries growing up, and I wasn't that interested in horror growing up. But at the age that this would be big, and no one was talking about it in my circles, so it never came to me. Eventually, when I became interested in movies, this came up, and it just took me a little bit to watch it because it was really hard to find and watch unless you had the DVD and everything. But now, basically, everything is accessible for at least $4. Because when I watched it this week, I just got to rent the full thing. I didn't have to rent part one and part two. I rented the full thing as a movie. And I kind of like it as a 3-hour movie because it feels like not that there's a kids section, then the adult section. The adult section and the kids section are all interwoven. So it almost feels like the adult section is throughout and the kids section is almost squished and shorter.
Which is weird because that's considered to be the most memorable part of the miniseries, is the part with the kids. It's considered to be scarier, and specifically part one is just seen as far superior to part two. And we'll obviously jump into the specifics of that, but I was watching a documentary. I have like 5 minutes left. I didn't get to finish it, but it's called Pennywise, the Story of It. and it's like a crowdfunded campaign, but it got like Tim Curry's in it. Most of the cast is in this. It's free on Amazon Prime if anybody's an it historian and wants to watch it. And they talk all about, you know, how ridiculous the spider was and beef that was going on set. Just so many fun stories to kind of hear in these interviews. But something that makes total sense for me is there was a different writer for part two than there was for part one. So Larry Cohen, or I think it's Lawrence D. Cohen, but he went by Larry in the documentary. Mm-hmm. He wrote part one, and he did Carrie. He did Tommyknockers. Like, he had experience working on Stephen King. The director, Tommy Lee Wallace, of course, very so beloved for Halloween 3 season of The Witch as its director. He was the director of this miniseries, but he took over the script rewrite for part two because Cohen had some other obligations. He wasn't able to fully fly. He wasn't able to really bring that second half to life the way that he kind of wanted to. And this, like, this makes so much sense because part one is a real big emphasis on scare. Part two is a big emphasis on camp. You know, always hindsight's 2020, but in the documentary, Cohen was saying, you know, if I had more time, I would have thought of something different to do than the spider, because the spider is often considered to be one of the weaker parts of the miniseries as well. But this is another reason why, in hindsight, it's like, I don't consider this a movie. It's like it's two episodes. It's a very distinct two-parter, even though there's an interwoven narrative. It's very, very different tonally and frankly quality-wise between the two parts.
Yeah, I guess so. It very much feels like TV too in terms of its production. And I do love Season of the Witch. I have not seen Fright Night Part 2, which he also written and directed. But I think that his directing chops in this one are lacking.
To say the least, but I think you've got to give credit that I think that if you talk to somebody who saw this when they were a kid, they were probably pretty freaked out. Like I was talking to I showed my roommate this. He said he saw it, of course, when he was like 7, and he just was so petrified. Like, I've talked to people who say they didn't like going into showers after this movie because of the shower scene. They were afraid of walking by sewers. Like, these are people who, like, their childhood was scarred. But I'm actually curious, because I know your girlfriend Amanda's big into horror. What are her thoughts on this miniseries?
She thinks it's stupid.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, we watched it last night. She hated it.
Had she watched it as a kid?
No. She watched it fairly recently, and she's read the book. She's read almost all of Stephen King's books. Mm-hmm. And she thinks the book is better than all of the iterations of it. But I think the concept is a little bit too big even for what Stephen King came out with it. The idea of this monster.
Pages.
Yeah, the idea of this monster does not justify in a 1,000-page book. Like, it's just the story surrounding this monster, this thing, what it is is an alien that can take, it's basically, it feeds on fear, and it's so interesting, and how to defeat it is you're just not scared of it, and it's really abstract, it's really hard to kind of grasp.
Mm-hmm.
I think that concept is super fascinating, super interesting, and the story that they put around it, it just has a lot of issues and weirdness to it, and especially when you try and adapt it to a movie, it's really hard to film something abstract. Especially for a TV movie, a TV miniseries. It's like, oh, we're going to talk about it when they don't even really explain what the monster is. Like, if you're a kid, you would think that it is the clown.
Just a spider.
Or a spider. Yeah, but if you watch the end, because you don't really understand it.
And that's an issue with, again, I mean, I'll be the first to say, I don't think that there is a flawless adaptation of this novel. Even the novel itself. I mean, I did
exactly
attempt reading the novel. I read the novel. It took me 6 months. It was a slog. And this is from somebody who's one of the biggest it stands out there. And it was a huge hurdle for me to actually get through this novel because it was so long. But anyways, let's talk a little bit about, because I guess the background about this movie a little bit too, because yes, it was a miniseries. Initially, it was supposed to be a 10-hour miniseries directed by George A. Romero. He did a lot of pre-production work. Worked with Lawrence D. Cohen again to kind of develop the script. But there was a scheduling conflict that Romero had to do. But then B, there was an issue where they were really kind of trying to shrink it down to 4 hours and imposing a lot of restrictions on content and on timing. And Romero was just, I'm out. And I think it really would have been cool to have seen a Romero take on this, especially a cinematic one, or kind of an HBO style miniseries or Showtime or Netflix or what have you. But in terms of being big, like this movie was really well received. It got 17.5 million people viewing it for part one, 19 million people watched it for part two. This movie, this miniseries won an Emmy. This miniseries technically, like, it got relatively good reviews when it came out. And yes, of course, the second part is considered worse and the spider was kind of shat upon. But overall, there's a reason why it has stayed in the zeitgeist. And Pennywise, if you look at Pennywise, you know who Pennywise is compared to the Stand miniseries, the, you know, the Tommyknockers miniseries. The what's the other one with the kid in the window, the Salem's Lot miniseries. Like there are a lot of Stephen King adaptations, both cinematically and for TV miniseries. And this one, I would say, is right up there with like The Shining. And like, I think this is even bigger than Misery. Like, I think if you showed somebody Pennywise and showed somebody Annie Wilkes, and not even the 2017 Skarsgård, and even like in 2010, if you showed somebody Tim Curry's Pennywise and then Kathy Bates' Annie Wilkes, I think more people would know who Pennywise is before they knew who Annie Wilkes is. I think that this is probably like the second or third most recognized Stephen King adaptation. And it's because I think of the rewatchability. It's not flawless, but I feel like saying words like this is stupid. I mean, your opinion, take it as you will, but saying it's stupid or it's bad, I don't think that's a consensus that everyone feels about this movie.
I mean, I have a reasons why I think it's
yeah, of course,
stupid or not. I mean, I don't think it's stupid. I think it has ideas and I think it's not horrendous, but I think the end result is kind of impossible to make. Mm-hmm. It is really hard. Well, not necessarily. I really liked part one of the new movies, which I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about. Mm-hmm. I didn't like part two that much, but I'm willing to give it another chance. Mm-hmm. Of the new movies. I feel like this film does a very, very good job of showing scary things happens to the characters, but me, myself, I don't feel scared. And that's why it's not a well-directed horror movie. It doesn't actually scare you because, I mean, do you want me to talk about this now or later?
Let's save it for a little bit later, because I and not to jump too ahead, but that's exactly how I feel about the 2017 version. Whereas this, I think they take the time to really let those scares settle in and focus and linger on Tim Curry, whereas opposed to the 2017, it's like, ah, CGI background with Skarsgård running towards my face. But we'll talk about that in later sections. And just one last thing on the history before I jump into it in my experience. Like, I think one of the reasons why I gravitated towards this one as a kid and why I wanted to do this on the old kids movies is because the heart of this movie for me, and I think, again, for a lot of people who love this movie, is the kids. It is the kids who are going through whatever hardship they're going through, whether it's the loss of a relative or in unstable households or just being an outcast, being a loser, and just being scared by something and not feeling right to talk about it with anybody except for those few close, trusted friends. I mean, there's that part where Bill is like, if you guys laugh at me, I'll never even, and then all his friends are like, no, you can tell us. But that is always what kept me coming back to this miniseries. It wasn't necessarily the scares. It was what I, and again, this is through the eyes of, you know, 10, 11, 12-year-old me, but it was the strength of these kids and their bond and their connection, and something that I think really captures childhood quite well.
Yeah, I like most of it. I think some of the present, some of the kids acting in certain scenes is really bad. Really bad.
Things I picked up on this watch, don't
but,
worry.
But part of that is not necessarily on the actor. It's the directing, and you don't have creative camera choices or camera angles or tension. There's a lack of tension that makes it pretty hard to kind of follow along with them and get on board with what they're dealing with.
Understood. Disagree, but understood. Anyways, anything else you want to say before we jump into it?
I think that's it.
That's it?
Yeah,
all right,
that's
well,
it.
Let's load on in to Stephen King's It.